Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Dennis Staunton, China correspondent of the Irish Times. Good morning to you in Beijing.
Good morning, Brendan.
Dennis, you might be aware that we here are talking a lot about China and, in inverted commas, the Chinese these days, how they might be feeling, what they might be thinking about Trump, trade, tariffs, their relationship with the rest of the world. But we actually don't get much insight from inside China. So thank you for joining us. So look, just to set up the macro picture for us first, where is this trade tariff standoff between China and America at right now? Are there tentative signs of a thaw?
There are tentative signs that they're talking about maybe talking to each other. So the Americans indicated that they are kind of waiting for a call from China and they would like to talk. The Chinese said on Friday, yesterday, that they were considering these kind of overtures, but that the Americans would have to approach them on the basis of respect, and that you know, they couldn't start bullying, and you know, and generally they were kind of saying, you know, if you're going to start talking, then we have to talk in the right way. So I think where we are now is that they're trying to work out how these talks would go. Now, what the Americans would like would be immediately have Xi Jinping and Donald Trump talking. Donald Trump doing a deal with the top guy in Beijing. But the Chinese don't want to do that. For them, the chat between Xi Jinping and Trump is the very last thing that happens, and the deal is done by then. So what they want is to have special envoys doing the negotiations.
So is this about status and kind of pride and stuff like that?
It's partly that, but it's mainly that just the system here is such that you never expose the leader to some kind of negotiation that could go wrong. And obviously, they've seen what happens in, like they saw what happened in Columbus with Zelensky, and they're not going to expose themselves to that. So it's partly just a kind of a cultural thing. It's the way they do things. And it's also just, you know, they're not going to get into a room in public with Donald Trump.
And Kamir, what's the feeling in China among the general public? Are they very engaged with this? Do people talk about it?
People talk about it, but what's striking, and in a way for me has been surprising, is that certainly kind of ordinary people who are not directly involved, say who are not kind of exporting stuff to America, they're kind of relaxed about it. They sort of talk about it as if, you know, the Americans have gone mad. You know, what's this guy doing? And as if this is a kind of a self-defeating thing that, you know, so in other words, that they feel, they seem to be fairly confident that in the end, it's, you know, whatever kind of a trade war happens, that China's going to be okay. And they certainly feel, I think, certainly everybody I've spoken to has, they take the view that the, you know, that Xi Jinping and the Chinese government are right to have stood up to him.
So is there a kind of
others were kind of folding.
Is there a kind of a rally around the flag? Are people feeling nationalistic, up for a fight, like, and willing to suck up some pain here?
I wouldn't really put it like that. I think it's more just that they kind of feel, at least the people I've been talking to in a kind of a casual sort of way, they feel kind of confident. And you do see, say, on social media, people kind of, you know, rallying around the flag and that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, the people felt the pain so far are the very specific people who are involved in the export industry. So far, the thing hasn't really had a huge effect on everybody else. But it could, obviously, you know.
How is the Chinese economy going in general?
So it's a kind of a mixed picture that you have on the one hand these kind of, you know, incredible breakthroughs. They're sort of way ahead on things like electric vehicles and how artificial intelligence and all of that. And so all of that stuff is doing really well. And they continue to export a lot. But, you know, they're continuing. It's still kind of deflationary. It's a bit sluggish. You see still kind of shops, restaurants closing down in some of the big cities. A little bit less so in the last few weeks. Things seem to be a little bit more buoyant, just kind of on the street. But certainly, the economy is kind of, you know, it's like by European standards, it's kind of growing at 4.5% a year or 5% a year, which is pretty good. But by their standards, it's not. And you still have this kind of overhang of the property market crash, which means really that people aren't spending money because they're afraid that they're not going to be earning much money.
Okay. So look, we know more or less what China sends to America, tech and toys and gewgaws and t-shirts and cheap stuff. What does America actually export to China?
So what America exports to China is a lot of it is food, things like soybeans and pork and poultry. And so there's a lot of that food stuff that they send, a certain amount of equipment, that kind of thing. And then at the high end, things like semiconductors, microchips, the Americans have put some restrictions on those so that they won't allow the Chinese to get the most advanced ones, but they still send a certain amount of that. And then just kind of, you know, things like, certain kinds of clothing, high-end kind of things like that. Harley Davidson motorbikes, as people keep talking about. I never see any, but people keep talking about them. And bourbon whiskey, that kind of thing.
Okay. There's another related aspect to this. So, like here, a lot of Americans would have shopped on those low-cost sites like Shein or Temu, and you know, there were small packages coming from them were never subject to duties and stuff. There are big changes to that now in the last few days, are there?
Yeah, basically what's, it's true not just in America, but in Europe as well, that if a package is, if the value of it is below a certain amount, then you don't have to pay duty on it. And so all of these have been, I've actually been at one of these cargo airports where you just see them putting, these tiny little boxes being put onto the plane and heading off somewhere in America or in Europe. And now they're going to have, the limit is coming way down, which means that most of these or a lot of these are going to be subject to duty. And the problem there is not just that they're going to have to pay the duty, but also they're going to have to go through all of the paperwork. So it's a bit like what happened in Ireland after Brexit, that suddenly things that used to be straightforward in terms of getting parcels that became complicated. So that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, and when I see like the package of cheap crap that can arrive from Shein or Temu like for 10 or 20 quid, you got to think if there's a lot of administration involved in that, it's hard to see how it's still economic to do it. So this is presumably that and the tariff situation in general, this is affecting presumably thousands of small and medium Chinese companies we've never heard of who make and export all this various stuff for foreign markets. And you've been talking to some of them. You're talking to a company who make Christmas tree decorations. Are they panicking?
Yes, well, some of them are. So I went. I went to visit. There's this place called Yiwu, which is down in southern China, where they make nearly all the Christmas decorations in the world. And I went down to see them last year, and I spoke to a few of them a couple of weeks ago. And so what they were saying to me is that basically they've sent everything off for this Christmas. It's all kind of done, except the American customers. So the American customers have paid for the stuff, but they said don't ship it yet. And the reason they're saying that is because at the moment the tariff is 145%. But maybe it's going to come down. And so that you're finding that replicated all over the place. The people are kind of saying, well, since we don't know, like next week this could come down to 25%, maybe it'll come down to 90%, maybe it'll go up. So let's just wait and do nothing as long as we can. And so that's what I think you're happy. A lot of manufacturers and exporters are just holding off and doing nothing. Now, what they say is this year they're probably going to be okay, say the Christmas tree people, but that next year it's going to affect things. And also what they're worried about is if they're exporting to other markets, that those other countries are going to be affected by Trump's tariffs, if he puts tariffs on them. Okay. So it affects everybody, basically.
There was talk as well the Chinese government was considering banning or at least limiting the number of Hollywood movies coming into China, because China, I think, is a huge market for Hollywood. Has that happened?
Yes, the kind of the film board, they put out this message saying, because of this current climate, Chinese people probably won't want to watch as many American films because they'll be feeling kind of ill-disposed towards America. So we're going to have fewer films coming in. Now, that's a kind of a semi-polite way of saying we're going to limit the number that comes in. And so what you're going to have is, let's say if there were 20 Hollywood movies released last year, you might have 8 released this year. And that does have a huge impact because it's a population of 1.4 billion people. And for those sort of big blockbuster films, it's a huge part of their profit is the Chinese market. So that's going to make a big difference.
Okay, so two related questions just to finish up on, and reasonably briefly if you could. You mentioned the AI thing and the EV thing there earlier, which is quite extraordinary how China has leapfrogged everyone, certainly in EVs, and looks as if it might do it in AI as well. Is China seeing an opportunity here, maybe if America is in retreat, to become a new economic superpower more so than it is to change its relationship with the rest of the world? And then related to that, how do you think this whole standoff is going to play out?
So, yes, they are hoping to capitalize on the fact that everybody's fed up with America. And so they're going to try to improve their relationships with everybody, including with Europe. Where the sort of becoming a tech superpower is concerned, they've been working on that for ages. And like that's part of their plan. We've got more people at universities studying the STEM subjects, the science subjects in China than everywhere else put together. So they're kind of way ahead in lots of things, and they will be even further ahead in the future. Where I think it's going to go, who knows, given that you're dealing with somebody like Donald Trump, but probably I think it looks like both sides actually want a deal. And so once they get to work out how to set the table for it, I think they will get into some sort of negotiations. That could have its ups and downs, but history would suggest that they will end up doing some kind of deal.
Okay, Dennis Staunton, China correspondent of the Irish Times, you really brought all that alive for us. Thank you very much, Dennis.